This is an iHeart podcast.
We have peace in the Middle East.
Come on. We'll talk about that briefly in a moment. A little bit more Joe Biden corruption. Josh Hammer joins us. Senator Tuberville, Chip Roy, Katie Porker still in the news. All that and more coming up on I'm Right. Okay, before we get to the Biden corruption and the rest of the show, I need to talk about something and explain why I'm not going to talk about it. And I realize that makes no sense, but I went to community college, so just stay with me here. This peace deal, Israel, Hamas, here was President Trump.
The whole world came together, to be honest. So many countries that you wouldn't have even thought of, and they came together. The world has come together around this deal. And that's something I would say that without that wouldn't happen. You know, having the ability to deal with trade, having the ability to use tariffs to help me make a point, the tariffs have brought peace to the world. I'm telling you, they brought peace to the world. And not only here, but with so many other deals. You know, I've made seven peace deals where countries were in many cases 30, 31 years, 135, 137 years they've been fighting and millions of people being killed, and I brought peace.
Okay. Let me clarify something here. That's really wonderful. What Donald Trump has done, and he did this his first 4 years, trying to bring peace to places, is wonderful. And the efforts the Trump administration has made to bring peace to this Israel-Hamas situation is wonderful. I am not complaining about them. I am applauding them. They deserve all the applause in the world. But, come on. You think Hamas is going to lay down their arms and stop committing acts of terror? Come on. This is not a deal where people are fighting over territory or something like that. These are religious wars. Religious wars go on oftentimes without end. Both sides view this as a religious war. Hamas has been killing as many as they can for as long as I can remember. And again, I'm happy that there's something going to happen. Hopefully some hostages get returned, but come on. Peace. It's going to last about 15 minutes. Go ahead and quote me on that. Now, let's talk about our country and our corruption. And I know, maybe you'd be tempted to say this is old news. Can we just move on past the Biden administration? Jesse, I'm ready to move on. We have bigger fish to fry. I understand the inclination. I understand the desire to move on. But we have to stop and remember this. Joe Biden and the communists in his White House may be gone, but Joe Biden's 4 years may have inflicted a mortal wound on America. I realize we're doing better now, but the things they did damaged this country so badly, just the illegals alone, they damaged this country so badly, there is a chance we never recover from the 4 years of the Biden administration. The weaponization of government, which is of course going to lead to more of this and more of that. It's bad. And so we're not going to let it go. And now we know CIA declassified these records. Back in 2015, Joe Biden, then Vice President Joe Biden, told the CIA to suppress a report. What was the report? Well, Central Intelligence Agency, obviously with a lot of connections and information, they were a little bit concerned about the fact the Biden family was corrupt and involved in Ukraine. How involved? Well, again, let's recap this. While he was Vice President of the United States of America, Barack Obama put him in charge of Ukraine. He then arranged for his dirtball son to get an $80,000+ a month job at an energy company that he had no experience in whatsoever, clearly a corrupt deal. And then when that company was being looked into by a Ukrainian prosecutor, Vice President Joe Biden had the prosecutor fired and then bragged about it on camera.
I had gotten a commitment from Poroshenko and from Yatsenyuk that they would take action against the state prosecutor, and they didn't. So they said they were walking out to press conference. Said, "No," I said, "I'm not going to. We're not going to give you the $1 billion." They said, "You have no authority. You're not the president." The president said, "I said, call him." I said, "I'm telling you, you're not getting the $1 billion." I said, "You're not getting the billion. I'm going to be leaving here." And I think it was, what, 6 hours? I looked, I said, "I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money." Well, son of a bitch. Got fired.
We had a completely owned person at the highest level of power in the world, not just in the United States of America. The United States president is the most powerful person in the world, and our president was completely owned by foreigners. Owned. And by the way, let's keep in mind that while he was president of the United States of America, not only did Russia invade Ukraine, Joe Biden threw $200 billion of your money at Ukraine, and to this day, no one knows where it all went. Did any of that money get back to the Biden family, the family with endless ties to Ukraine? I don't know. But this is the kind of stuff that breaks nations. And look, it's not just Ukraine. I mean, everywhere. China, their business dealings with China are very well documented. Their dirtball son, Hunter Biden, sought Chinese money to get a land deal so the U.S. could somehow facilitate China getting some land next to the embassy in Romania. It's this big, ugly, Washington Times ran the story. It's this big, ugly affair where clearly, once again, while Joe Biden was giving speeches in Romania about corruption, his family was making money.
Corruption is a cancer that eats away at a citizen's faith in democracy. Corruption is just another form of tyranny. When politicians can be bought, when courts can be manipulated, when the media becomes a tool of propaganda, there you will find a society that is susceptible to manipulation from the outside. There you'll find a society that loses control of its own destiny. Not only its political security, but its physical security and military readiness is also compromised. We've recently seen that in Ukraine.
Credit to Mays Moore for digging up that old video. This is not old news, and it can't be just breezed past. Every single part of the Biden corruption from the Biden White House and from his time as vice president needs to be examined and exposed. Where possible, people need to be held to account, going to prison. Not because I'm a vengeful person, although I am a vengeful person, I fully admit that. These people have to be held to account because they wounded us deeply. What does the rest of the world think about us, knowing that you can essentially own the president? I mean, remember, speaking of the Chinese money, Joe Biden allowed a Chinese spy balloon to fly over our military bases and gather information clear across the United States of America. Why did he do that? Because he was owned. Owned. If this is Christopher Wray, and there are a lot of indications that Christopher Wray was involved in at least helping this family do these things, then he has to go down too. We have to track down the corrupt people who wounded us and send them to prison. There is no other way to save a corrupt country. Corrupt people in the government have to be arrested and sent to prison. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. Now, Josh Hammer knows a lot, obviously, about Israel, Hamas. He wrote a book about the whole thing. I am extremely skeptical. I don't know if Josh Hammer is extremely skeptical, but I'll tell him and I'll ask him about it in just a moment. Before I do that, in fact, while we go to break, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to eat some potato chips, and I don't have to hide it from my wife because I eat Vandy crisps. I've told you many times about Massa chips. Well, those are the corn chips. They have potato chips now. Are you a potato chip person? It's terrible for you. You know that, right? All those ones you buy in the grocery store, the gas station, terrible for you. All these ingredients on there, you can just watch the cancer growing inside of your body. Vandy crisps aren't like this at all. You can eat these guilt-free, packed with flavor, basic, healthy ingredients. My wife gives them to the kids. This is Health Freak Ob, gives them to the kids. You want to save some money on some Vandy crisps? They have all kinds of flavors. Go. VandyCrisps.com/Jesse. VandyCrisps.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
We have peace in the Middle East.
No, we don't. I know I'm supposed to be celebrating the Nobel Peace Prize. And again, like I said in the opening, I give Donald Trump all the credit in the world, but I don't believe any of this at all. I think this ceasefire is going to last about as long as it takes to make a bowl of mac and cheese. Joining me now, my friend Josh Hammer, author of the book Israel and Civilization. All right, Josh, you're the expert on the region, much more so than I am. Is this peace?
Well, Jesse, first of all, I'm not sure that I'm the expert. You, my friend, are the one who actually served our country honorably. I did not have that honor, so I'm not sure that I can match that. But I share your skepticism for what it's worth. I am skeptical. I am suspicious. I do think that Donald Trump, the administration, deserve a lot of credit for this. I think that Benjamin Netanyahu deserves a lot of credit as well, actually. He is a very perilous balancing act to do between his coalition, between the Israeli people who want the hostages home. How do you balance these competing interests of the hostages with Hamas? So a lot of people deserve a lot of credit. There's only one glaring problem here, which is that we're talking about Hamas. I mean, I think a lot of people have forgotten here. You're talking about a 7th century aspiring Sharia supremacist Islamist death cult. You're talking about a group of people that don't understand the Western conception of a ceasefire. There's actually a word in Arabic called hudna, and hudna is how the Arab world thinks of a ceasefire. The problem, Jesse, is that a hudna is not a ceasefire. A ceasefire is like an actual cessation of hostilities there. A hudna in the Arabic language and in Islamic Arab culture more generally, a hudna is a temporary pause that allows one side to simply regroup for the inevitable resumption of armed hostilities. So to me, that seems likely as to what is going to happen here. I think it's only a matter of time before Hamas brazenly violates this deal. I would like to be wrong here. Now, the deal is not perfect. There are some things in it that I object to, but my mentality as an American, Jesse, is basically this. If Israel is happy with it, then there's very little room to object to it from an American perspective. The American interest in this war is pretty simple. We want the hostages to be released. We definitely want Hamas to be out of power in Gaza. If Israel is satisfied that this deal does that, then I think that the United States should be satisfied as well. I just don't think that it's actually going to happen is the problem.
Okay, Josh, why don't you break it down for us in a little bit more detail beyond the headlines. What is in the deal? Because again, I'm even skeptical about Hamas being out of power in Gaza. That just doesn't sound like something that's going to happen to me. So what's in the deal?
Yeah, and again, you're totally right to be skeptical. So the deal calls for the immediate release of all of the hostages in Gaza, living and deceased. That is supposed to happen this weekend, as soon as this Sunday or Monday, roughly 20, maybe 22, 23 at the most, living hostages in Gaza. God willing, they will finally be out of their 2 years now in horrific jihadist captivity this weekend. So that would be a huge victory if that happens. Now, in exchange for that, here's kind of the fine print that a lot of people are not talking about. In exchange for that, Israel's releasing some of the most hardened jihadists known to man, and that number could be as high as potentially 2,000 thugs. Now, the Prime Minister's office has said that some of the literal worst of the worst, including an infamous jihadist named Marwan Barghouti. By the way, Jesse, just to give you an example as to how sick the moral rot is in Palestinian Arab society, there was a reputable poll that was taken just a few weeks after October 7th as to who the Palestinian Arabs in Gaza and Judea and Samaria, aka the West Bank, would most want to be their prime minister. They named a guy more than anyone else named Marwan Barghouti, whose claim to fame is that he is serving multiple life sentences for murdering a bunch of innocent people in Israel. So the Prime Minister's office has said that Barghouti's not getting out, but a lot of people are going to get out there. And, you know, frankly, we can go back to the 2011 Gilad Shalit prisoner swap, where Israel exchanged over 1,000 jihadis just to get one soldier back who was taken capture in Gaza. One of the jihadis who Israel traded back then in 2011 was an obscure jihadist by the name of Yahya Sinwar, who, fast forward 12 years, became the mastermind of October 7th. So we've been down this road before. It does not always work out in Israel's favor, does not always work out in the United States' favor. But to me, the even more pressing concern, which again you alluded to, is Hamas is going to disarm? Are they going to lay down their guns there? And more to the point, who's going to enforce that? Like, literally, who is actually going to enforce that Hamas has given up all of their RPGs and their weaponry and their Humvees and that there? It seems a very, very, very difficult thing to try to enforce. And the final thing I'll say is that even if you cross that threshold, even if we accept on Israel's terms, America's terms, whoever's actually enforcing it, even if we accept that they've actually laid down their arms, then who actually is going to govern next? I mean, let's even assume that Hamas is actually out of power. They actually accept safe passage out of Gaza to the Sinai Desert, whatever, which I'm kind of skeptical of that, to be honest with you. But let's say they do that. If the Palestinian Authority, if Mahmoud Abbas from Ramallah in the West Bank comes down to govern Gaza, that's pretty much a distinction without much of a difference. They are slightly less evil. They're still pretty, pretty freaking evil. Mahmoud Abbas himself literally wrote his PhD dissertation at his old Soviet university in Moscow on Holocaust denial. So this is not exactly a loving, friendly group of people. These are the so-called moderates that Tony Blinken and the whole Biden administration were falling over head over heels for. So, I mean, are they going to be in charge in Gaza? I mean, color me skeptical of that, too. So there is a path towards this working out, but it's a very, very narrow path, and a lot of things that are low to mid probability items have to all simultaneously click at once, basically.
I have to ask, Josh, and I know the answer to this question is not wonderful, but okay, the hostages being released is the goal. We want these people out of captivity. How many of these people do we believe are still alive?
Roughly 20 is the estimate. We think 25 at the absolute most, 22, 23, so somewhere between 20 and 25. Now, there's going to be more than that when it comes to dead hostages who have not been released, somewhere between 45 and 50. 48 is the number that I've seen tossed around there. But dead or alive, I mean, Jesse, that's what a first world country does, right? As you go above and beyond to try to bring home your captives, your soldiers, your civilians, and it's just a horrific, horrific situation there. But look, I was in Israel, Jesse, most recently in June, and I was pretty struck going throughout the country of how frequent the hostage posters are. They're everywhere. They're not just in Hostage Square in Tel Aviv. They're on the sides of the highways, on the overpass there, on the sidewalk. They're literally everywhere. This is a country that is dying to get their hostages home. And I don't blame them. As an American, my first and foremost goal is to see Hamas, which is a U.S. State Department recognized foreign terrorist organization, to see them obliterated. Personally, that's what I care about more than anything else. But I can just tell you from having been in Israel and seen the Israeli perspective there, they obviously care about defeating Hamas too. But to them, the hostage situation is just so overwhelmingly personal there that I think that they will just be really, really, really happy to get whoever they can get home safely ASAP.
All right, let's get out of that whole mess and focus on our own messes right now, like conversion therapy. What's going on at the Supreme Court, and what is this case all about, Josh?
Jesse, you know, you are a true professional, my friend, when it comes to these transitions. So this is a case of the Supreme Court called Salazar. So it's a case out of the state of Colorado. By the way, why do all these fun LGBTQ culture war cases come out of Colorado? I mean, the Jack Phillips masterpiece cake shop case was out of suburban Denver, Colorado there. The 303 creative case, that was a free speech case from just two or three terms ago involving a religious Christian marriage website designer. That was a case out of Colorado. So I'm not sure what's in the water in Colorado besides just a bunch of marijuana, I guess, but it ain't good, whatever is there, because we get a lot of these ridiculous cases. So Colorado has banned so-called conversion therapy. Now, the very phraseology, the very term conversion therapy is kind of a left-wing misnomer, because it implies that you're taking the kids or teenagers, wherever they are, to a therapist, and you're going to induce them with some sort of drugs, or you're going to try to read them the riot act there. In reality, when Colorado legislates, when other liberal states legislate about conversion therapy, they're actually really just talking about parents talking to their children, or parents bringing in an intermediary to talk to their children. This is core free speech stuff. This is core free speech, core parental rights stuff. If the free speech clause of the First Amendment means one thing and one thing only, it means political speech. Political speech is the sine qua non, the core of the free speech clause. If it means anything else, it means that the parents of children have a right to talk to their parents in whatever manner they choose, period, full stop, end of story, without the government sticking its dirty, grubby thumbs and its nose in those parents' business there. I'm pretty optimistic, Jesse, given the recent free speech clause jurisprudence, given the religious liberty jurisprudence. I think this is going to be a winning case, actually. I think the Colorado law will be overturned probably pretty soon, actually.
All right, Josh. Finally, Chief Justice John Roberts is worried about, and I quote, a potential disaster in some case involving late arriving mail-in ballots. What's the disaster? What?
Well, Jesse, this has been an ongoing issue since the 2020 election, especially out of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, when it comes to how do we count ballots, when it comes to, is it the postmark date that has to be out before the election date? Is it after the election date there? I think the key point here from a constitutional perspective is that when it comes to essentially all procedures for a federal election, it's up to the states. The states are the ones who have overwhelming authority to control elections in America. This is actually the entire basis of the conservative objection to the Joe Biden era attempts to federalize a ban on voter ID or various other attempts, the John Lewis Act, to basically federalize more election law, because election law, as part of our constitutional design, is really kind of a core state-level police power issue. There are exceptions. There's the 15th Amendment, which says that you have a right to vote regardless of what your race is. That was a Reconstruction post-Civil War amendment. There's the Voting Rights Act of 1965. There's a couple other interesting statutes as well. But this is really kind of a core federalism question there. Fortunately, again, for Roberts and the court's right of center majority, it's not a right-wing majority, but it's a right of center majority there. Federalism is another issue where this court has generally been sound. So I'm pretty optimistic about this case as well.
Josh, thank you, my brother. Come back soon. All right. Government's still shut down. Talk to Chip Roy about that. And if we can impeach judges and other things in just a moment before we talk to Chip, let me talk to you about your stomach. Now, I don't care about your abs or anything like that. Believe me, I don't have any myself. I'm talking about how your stomach feels. As you get older, you can't eat nails like you used to be able to when you were a child. Me, I'm a hot sauce man. I love hot sauce, pizzas, and burgers. So I kind of need colostrum in my life, cowboy colostrum in my life. The health benefits of colostrum are well documented. Me, I put it in my coffee in the morning. They have chocolate. They have vanilla and strawberry. It's all delicious, but I go chocolate in my coffee. I have a cup of chocolate coffee every morning. It's delicious. And man, does my stomach feel so much better. My whole digestive system just works better. And my digestive system has mountains to climb with the things I put in it. I would highly recommend you pick up some Cowboy Colostrum so you can feel better too. Go to cowboycolostrum.com. You want a big fat discount? Use the code JESSETV. We'll be back. Well, how many times have we had the discussion that there's a cabal of Republicans in Washington, D.C. who view their job as keeping the foot in the door so it can never slam completely closed on communism in our federal government? Wall Street Journal reporting today that Republicans are cautioning the White House not to inflict any pain on the bureaucracy that destroys your life. Joining me now, great congressman from the state of Texas, next attorney general, I would guess, from the state of Texas, my friend Chip Roy. Chip, please, I'm so frustrated with these dorks.
So look, here's the thing. Let's start with the positive. Donald Trump has laid out the direction that we need to go. House Republicans passed a funding bill that gets us into November. not exactly what you and I would choose, right? A CR that's 7 weeks, 8 weeks long. I'd rather have appropriations bills, but the Senate doesn't let us do that. So from the positive standpoint, House Republicans united, the president's united, the president's out kicking ass on any number of ways, trying to help keep our country safe, brokering deals over the Middle East, working hard for our country, and now enter Senate Republicans. And the Senate Republicans decide they've got to tell us how it needs to be. You guys need to be kinder and gentler. Oh, don't let Russ Vogt go out and do his job to make sure that we're prioritizing spending the right way and restricting the wasteful spending and getting rid of bureaucrats, which is what, of course, President Trump wants to do and what a lot of Americans want them to do. And now the Senate Republicans are hand-wringing. Senate Republicans need to get out of the way. They need to let the president lead, let the House continue to work with the president and the willing participants in the Senate to do what we've been doing so far this year when we delivered on the big, beautiful bill, by the way, having to go and work around weak Senate Republicans. And we had to work through a lot of those issues, which is why we had 2 a.m. deals getting negotiated. But that's what we need to do now. Russ Vogt's doing a great job. He already popped New York Democrats on $18 billion of spending because they're all woke and DEI. He already hit $8 billion of additional Green New Scam. He hit another $3 billion on some other wasteful spending. And if the Senate Republicans will just get out of the way, we're winning this fight. Look, the American people don't want the government shut down, but they also don't want wasteful spending, and they don't want illegal aliens to get health care. But more importantly, they don't want insurance companies to be enriched with a bunch of subsidies that were passed under COVID under Biden. And they want us to do our job. So the Senate Republicans just need to get out of the way.
Chip, I've heard a lot of threats that government people are going to be fired, that we're going to fire all these bureaucrats, that government agencies are going to be fired. Okay, I understand there are procedures that people have to go through, and I know you're going to clarify that. When's that going to start?
Well, as I said, Russ has already moved the needle by cutting a number of the programs I just described that were actually really important, the wasteful spending in New York and the Green New Scams. Russ is prepared, and the Office of Management and Budget, and I think many folks at the White House are prepared to move forward. But you've got these Senate Republicans who are trying to, you know, micromanage all this from the Senate, and they say, oh, well, you got to be careful about what we're doing here. So they're the ones that are pumping the brakes. I hope that the president will just keep holding the line, keep moving forward. The American people are with us. We're keeping all of the core necessary functions of government moving forward as best as we can while Democrats play politics with it. And look, I'm not a, you know me, Jesse, I'm not a company line guy. I'm going to just speak truth to what I see. But I do think as a company line, as Republicans, the president is doing a good job moving all of this forward. The president and his great administration, they want to move a lot of this forward. The House is working hand in hand with the White House. The Senate, some of them are with us, but there's a block that are not with us here, and we need to move forward together so that we can win in the midterms by doing stuff. We can't just start playing politics and start hand-wringing, which is when Republicans lose. On healthcare, for example, we should be on offense. Healthcare is expensive because of Obamacare, because of subsidies, because of the meddling of government. Don't be afraid of that. I ran in a 4-point Republican race in 2020 against Wendy Davis, and I ran on healthcare freedom, I ran against Obamacare, and I won by 7 points in a 4-point district. And I actually outperformed, with all due respect, our great president. You can do it if you go on offense and you're confident with it, instead of crying in the corner about, oh my God, they're gonna say pre-existing conditions. We can have a healthcare system that's affordable if we'll just go fight for it.
Chip, I wanna shift gears and talk about something that I find to be hilarious. Hakeem Jeffries, I understand he's a prolific fundraiser, which is why he's in the position he's in. But after this little exchange, it's finally convinced me he's just not up to the task. Here he was.
We got a 1-year extension. Why don't we sign on right now?
Let me ask you a question. Did you get permission from your boss?
Why don't we sign on
did,
right
did
now?
Did your boss, Donald
you
Trump?
You can easily extend
did your
the ACA
did your
right
boss,
now.
Donald Trump,
he's
give
not
you
my
permission?
Boss.
Yes, he is.
No, he's not. By the way,
so let me ask you a
why
question.
Did you vote to
let me
shut
ask
the government
question.
Down?
You
why
know
did
I
you vote to shut
let
it down?
Let me ask you a question.
For years, you always
well,
lectured about how we need to keep the government open.
You're making a show of this to make yourself relevant.
That's it. You could easily sign on to this.
You're embarrassing yourself right now.
You could sign on to this. The only embarrassment here is
you. You're an embarrassment.
You could sign on to the bill.
Let me ask you a question.
You have four Democrats on
this. Listen, you're not going to talk to me. You're not going to talk to me and talk over me because you don't want to hear what I have to say.
Oh, I'm listening.
So why don't you just keep your mouth shut?
Chip, how long is he going to stay in leadership? He just doesn't seem to have it. He's no Nancy Pelosi.
Well, I think what you saw from Mike Lawler there is he's putting him on the spot. I think Mike did a good job doing that, and I have no qualms with that. I mean, look, Democrats are the ones who are running away from what we did, which was we're funding government, by the way, at Biden levels. I mean, you and I would like to see it lower. But what we did was we kept funding at current levels, which if we do that and we grow the economy, we're actually winning. You and I both know to keep government flat, you're actually winning. But Hakeem Jeffries is just trying to play this political game along with Chuck Schumer because they have nothing else to run on, Jesse. The fact of the matter is they're radical leftists, they're radical progressive, they're Marxists. They want to have Sharia law in our neighborhoods. They want to have criminals on the streets. They're totally fine with Soros-funded DAs putting criminals on the streets in Austin and San Antonio and throughout the country. They want to block ICE from enforcing the law. They want wide open borders so that people from all over the world can come in. They don't care about protecting Americans, protecting sovereignty, securing our country. They don't care about healthcare prices being low. They're fine enriching insurance companies. They're fine doing all this stuff to take care of their fat cat buddies. Hakeem knows it. Chuck Schumer knows it. They have nothing to run on, so they're trying to shut the government down using scare tactics. Mike Lawler called him out. But yeah, I don't think the speaker is up to the job right now. Neither is Chuck Schumer. I think the American people are seeing that.
Chip, how soon can we start impeaching judges? Is that something that's even possible? We cannot exist with these communist judges turning rapists and murderers loose on innocent people in this country. It has to stop.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I drafted articles yesterday. I can't file them until next week because we're in this shutdown situation to impeach Judge Boardman, who is the judge that offered this 8-year sentence trying to hide behind this dude's transgenderism and trying to say that somehow that means that the sentence should be 8 years instead of the 30 years recommended by the Department of Justice. This for having planned out the murder of a Supreme Court justice. So this judge should be impeached because this judge, she is putting her ideology in front of her duty to actually enforce the law, follow the rule of law, and follow the Constitution. So I believe she should be impeached. I believe some of these other judges should be impeached. Some of them are stepping over the line from putting their hat on and trying to, even if I disagree with the leftists, if they're at least following the law, even if I disagree with it, okay. But some of these decisions are insane and they're not following the law. They're putting their ideology in the courtroom where it doesn't belong and they should be impeached. We have been way too tepid, way too afraid from using that tool that the founders gave us to be another check after we go through the confirmation, if we look at them. And by the way, judges have another line in the Constitution, good behavior. It's not just high crimes and misdemeanor. It means you can be appointed and serve in the life tenure under good behavior. This is not good behavior. Endangering the American people and endangering a Supreme Court justice, and you're gonna let a lunatic out in 8 years and only sentence this person to 8 years because they're transgender? That's insane. And she should be impeached, and so should some other judges. So I'm gonna file those articles of impeachment next week.
Go get him, Chip. I appreciate you, brother. All right. The coach, Senator Tommy Tuberville, is one of those senators who was tracked by the Federal Bureau of Investigation. I can't wait to hear what he has to say about that. Before we go to the coach, let me talk to you about feeling good. Full of pep. Full of energy. How's your mood anymore? You get down a lot? You need chalk in your life. Chalk has become such a big part of my life. When I travel, if I leave town for one day, my male vitality stack from Chalk comes with me every single morning. Breakfast, male vitality stack. Natural herbal supplements will have your T levels jacked through the roof. It'll have your energy through the roof, your mood feeling good all the time. Do you want to feel like going for a walk when you get home instead of collapsing in the couch? Chalk.com/JesseTV saves you a fortune. Go find out what I'm talking about. You're 90 days away from feeling like a new person. We'll be back. We're not going to let go of this FBI, Biden administration, Christopher Wray malfeasance. Obviously, you're well aware that they're kicking in doors of pro-lifers and doing all sorts of horrible things back when they were in charge, but It is such a bold move to track United States senators, but apparently without fear. And one of those senators joins me now, although I'm not allowed to call him senator. The coach, Tommy Tuberville, joins me, about to be Alabama's governor, I hope. Hey, coach, the FBI's tracking your phone?
Yeah, I guess I'm one of the elite eight. We were so important back in the early days of the Biden administration. They were scared to death of us, so they got a criminal subpoena to be able to get our phone records. And all it is was a fishing expedition against friends and allies of President Trump. This Jack Smith, he should be disbarred. He should not be able to get a job as a dog catcher. It's just amazing to me how we can put up with this nonsense. But thank God for the whistleblowers, Jesse, because if it wasn't for them, we'd have never known. And this is not over with.
Coach, we'll get to the not over with part in a moment. I'm going to ask a question that is unbelievably naive. I know that, but aren't we supposed to have safeguards in place so we can't just have some dirtball at the FBI or special counsel decide to start tracking United States senators? I'd like to think we are a first world country with a system in place where that's not something that can happen.
Jesse, can you imagine if this had happened in a Trump DOJ against Democrats? There would be so much uproar about what had happened. I mean, people would have already been in jail. There have been lawsuits, but the shoe's on the other foot. The DOJ was weaponized. We all knew that. I mean, since I've been up here, I've never seen like the corruption in one place like Washington, D.C. So maybe we can get to the bottom of it. Cash and Dan Bongino told me that this is the tip of the iceberg. But again, thank God for whistleblowers, or we would have never found out this had happened.
What do we do now for accountability? Because this thing always ends with, someone resigning or getting fired, and that's fine, right? But that's a good first step. I have a hard time believing that dissuades some future dirtball from doing the same thing. Can we actually send any of these people to prison?
Well, that's what I hear when I go home to Alabama. I'll go to a football game. Auburn played Georgia this week down there, by the way, and every other person, coach. When are we going to put somebody in jail? We're tired of hearing about people breaking the law. When is somebody going to be held accountable? And I've said that to Pam Bondi. I've said it to Cash and Dan Bongino. They're all on board with that. But again, you got to show us show us the pudding. Show us what's going to happen to people that broke the damn law. And at the end of the day, I guess it's hard to do. But we're going to stay on top of this. But I have been told by people that there's a lot more things coming out. The next year is going to be very, very interesting. And again, we all have known how corrupt they were when they just lied about the border. Nobody's coming across. I mean, it's closed. It's absolutely amazing, how we put up with this nonsense.
Coach, you're going to watch Auburn play Georgia on purpose? That game's probably not going to go well.
Yeah. Well, who knows? I thought Georgia would probably be successful in their last game, but they weren't. And they've got to come to Jordan-Hare Stadium. So we've got a pretty good record there.
All right. The shutdown. Obviously, I'm thrilled about it, but I know I'm a minority here. How long, handicap this thing? How long do you think Democrats are going to keep it shut down if it's not popular? It's not making them popular, and the polls don't look like it's making them popular. What's the game here?
One thing about Democrats that I've found since I've been here, Jesse, they do not bend whatsoever, okay? It's going to be us. I'm starting to see a few chinks in the armor up here of people say, we need to do this, we need to do that. No, we don't. We do not need to give the Democrats $1.5 trillion more to spend, especially on illegals, especially on Social Security, people that do not deserve, do not even belong here. We don't need to do that. And so we need to be headstrong and stay against it. I know President Trump is, he's hearing it from, hey, law enforcement needs money and the military needs money. Hey, I'm all for that. But to give money to illegals is, number one, it's against the law. Number two, it's downright cheating the American people, and we do not need to compromise any way whatsoever.
Coach, something else that has no place here is Sharia law. This has been campaign fodder for Republicans for years, and people laughed it off. And now we have cities in the United States of America with the Muslim call to prayer five times a day. It's waking people up to the reality of it. What are we going to do about it? What can we do about it?
Well, Jesse, our cities, our big cities are dying. They're absolutely collapsing. They're broke. They've got drugs, homeless, people are moving out. The businesses are bankrupt. A lot of it has to do with other things, but one thing that's coming. Now, I was a football coach, you know that. And I learned from mistakes that I made and our players. We tried to teach, don't make the same mistakes. Folks, we've lost Europe. Europe is gone. We need to come to reality that Europe has given in to so much immigration from the Muslim community that they have elected mayors and people of in higher up politics, they're gone. We do not need to make that same mistake. Sharia law needs to be banned in this country. If you come to this country, where I don't care what immigrant comes here, you go by our laws, our constitution, our way of life, and if you don't want to do that, go home. And we need to start stepping up and speaking out about it. Sharia law needs to be banned because they hate Americans and they want to kill Americans. That's the bottom line.
Coach, how confident are you we are going to be able to infiltrate and break up this communist domestic terrorist network, Antifa? And I'm not just talking about the turds running around with masks on their faces, talking about the financiers, the organizers of this whole thing. Do we have what it takes to break up this organization?
Yeah, this is our last chance. President Trump getting elected, us taking the House and the Senate. I know we've got some squishes that we have to work through. But Jesse, at the end of the day, this will be our last chance. We're in trouble. We're $37 trillion in debt. We got probably 50, 60 million people here that's not supposed to be here that want to bring this country down. And if we don't get control of the federal government, it's over. We won't be able to live in the country that you and I had the opportunity to grow up in. It will change, and it's going to change overnight. All you have to do is give these Democrat socialists a little bit more rope, and they're going to take it and run with it. I'm not so sure how strong we are up here as leaders in Washington, D.C. I'm not so sure, but we better find out. This next year will be the year whether we'll make it or whether we'll lose it, because this is an election year, and are people going to run on getting votes, or are they going to run on saving our country? That's what I'm looking forward to seeing what's happening.
Coach, good luck this weekend. Appreciate you very much. All right. Katie Porker, still in the news. Next. All right. It's time to lighten the mood. And obviously, Katie Porker was featured yesterday after that disastrous interview where she's yelling at the reporter and threatening to walk out. I thought she was going to eat her. It was ugly. But as I tried to explain yesterday, this is something people inside politics have known forever. Katie Porker is a terrible human being who treats everyone around her terribly. And now stuff's starting to leak out. I'm not even sure what you're about to see is going to be the last thing, because this is a woman with a long documented history of wrecking her staff and a buffet table. This is Katie Porker. The reporting is from Politico. Well, imagine working for this person.
We did a study recently this fall in September, and what it showed is if we don't electrify our transportation sector, that we're going to lose more than 500,000 Californians dying prematurely to air pollution and other problems, and the state could lose four. Get out of my shot.
I wanted to tell you that that's actually incorrect. It's not that it's electric vehicles. It's that if we don't meet the commitments under the Paris Climate Accord.
Okay. It does. Okay. You also were in my shot before that. Stay out of my shot. Okay. I'm going to start again with electric vehicles saving us money.
Perfect.
Okay.
Remember, that's how she is on camera. What's she like when the cameras are off? Good grief. Anyway, maybe she was hungry. I'll see you tomorrow.
out of the illness. That's all, folks.
This is an iHeart podcast.